This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the Different Strokes Effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model-strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played Dragonette, Pick Up the Phone.
Well, you know what? Tonight, aren't we a vision? Aren't we a vision?
You definitely are. I feel horrible.
Well, I tell you what's happening tonight here in the studio, because it's a little ridiculous if you think about it. We're on radio. Ain't nobody going to see what we're wearing.
Except for the people that see us every week.
I know. And they're just like, something's different about Jade and Dave tonight. Yes. What we've decided to do tonight, just to shake it up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then I like to sort of suggest something that Jade and I can do on a more physical sense rather than just us talking about a particular topic on Different Strokes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's actually do a proper
We're a cross-content program. Like, we consider blogs and all of that as well.
Yeah, there's got to be a visual element to it, and we're just dying and bursting, for these opportunities where we can do something in a physical sense, take a photo of it and put it on our blog.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight what we thought Jade and I could do is from dag to drag.
Mm-hmm.
That's our little shoe swap tonight.
Yes.
It goes without saying that, because it's a shoe swap experience, we have to pick the extreme.
Yeah.
Look, neither of us are dags or drag queens, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm sure people would probably argue that I have a dag element to me.
Yeah, and, they hear the intro every week on Different Strokes and they think, oh, Dave must wear heels all the time or
yeah.
He must have a penchant for stilettos. But I don't. I've never done a drag show before. So we're really just picking the extremes of our visual and, fashion stereotypes tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually gone and dressed up as the other. So you, Jade, you have gone through, oh, my God, look at you.
Mm-hmm.
There is a picture on the blog, by the way, and Jade has got like 10 layers of bronzer on. She is looking darker than Obama.
It is itching.
It is itching. I'm so sorry. I hope it's safe and it's not. You're not allergic to makeup, are you? Have you ever worn makeup?
I don't know. I do kind of itch very easily.
Oh my goodness, we have to get this off. I can't look, we're off to a good start already, this dag to drag challenge.
Yeah.
And am I everything you imagined to be?
You are seriously Long Duck Dong. Does anyone remember the 16 Candles, which was a movie during the 80s. It was a John Hughes film. It had Molly Ringwald in it. And there was this Asian exchange student. His name was Long Duck Dong. And seriously, that is what Dave looks like when he's dressed as a dag.
I don't know. I just, a lot of people have told me, there's a difference between looking geeky and daggy fashion. So that's what I'll talk about tonight. What it's like to dress as a dag. And because I consider myself to be quite stylish. So this is really, it's quite awful dressed like this. The pants have never been high. I am telling you.
Surely when you were younger, they were high.
Well, yeah, in recent times, it's really uncomfortable to have your pants that high.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that all coming up next. But in the meantime, if you want to have a look at what we both look like.
Yes, if you go to our blog, you can get there, joy.org.au/different strokes, or you can check us out on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, on Twitter.
It's also on our Facebooks as well. So,
it is, yeah. So if you just look up twitter.com/joy949.
Yeah.
We've retweeted that, haven't we?
Yes, there's a link there, so you can check out the blog as well.
Excellent. So that's Dag to Drag coming up next. Oh, I'm so excited.
Different Strokes Shoe Swap.
Like this. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way.
Hey, Dave. These high heels are so hard to walk in. I don't want to swap shoes anymore. So, Dave, you are wearing stuff that I have been known to wear. Granted, I don't button up my polos.
Or pull your pants this high up.
Yes, and tuck in the shirt to the pants.
My belly button has to be at least 5 centimetres below the waistline of this pants.
Okay, so I assume these are things in your wardrobe.
Isn't this sad?
Yes.
Ain't the truth just horrifying sometimes? I actually own these clothes. And, you know, there's actually nothing wrong with these clothes. I wear them on a daily basis. You know, I make it work.
In and of themselves, they're not particularly daggy. It's the combination of everything.
It's the combination. It's the way that it's been worn and just the style of it, how I've chosen to worn these. I'm wearing a mint-coloured polo top.
Mm-hmm.
It is tucked in to grey track pants.
Mm-hmm.
The track pants itself is tucked in to my black socks. And I'm wearing Dunlop Volleys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My hair, just to give you a bit of a picture, is centre-parted.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And so slick.
It is centre-parted.
It's normally, like, kind of fluffy and...
You know, my hair's normally just parted to the side.
Yes.
I do like a side part and, my hair's razored. It's all textures and mm-hmm. all that. But tonight it is slicked. It is gelled.
Mm-hmm.
It is slicked down. It is center parted. And to be honest, I haven't center parted my hair since Leonardo DiCaprio was in Titanic and that look was all the rage back then.
Walking into a Joy today. What was the visual response?
This is what's really strange, right? I told myself because... I drive down to the station.
Yeah.
But there's always the element of having to park somewhere. And I freaked out a little because I couldn't find a park anywhere on Bourke Street.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought, tonight is not the night I want to be walking 2.5 blocks to the station. I do not want to be seen looking like this.
Mm-hmm.
And just to let you know, I didn't bring my usual bag as well, Jade. I brought this bright orange plastic Donald Duck bag.
I think it looks awesome.
I've accessorized it as well. You know, I am Dag through and through.
Yeah.
From head to toe, right onto the bag accessory as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was when I thought, please, Lord, give me a park near station so I can minimize this contact with the public.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was walking out, I'll tell you something really interesting. This is so much like the time when Tyra Banks put on the fat suit and she felt like the world looked at her differently.
Okay.
I might be, slightly, over-dramatizing a little.
Okay.
But I felt like the world treated me differently because I dressed like a Dag.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's really unfair because I'm still David Lim. Like, duh, can't you recognize me? Don't you know who I am? And I was still doing the David Lim strut.
Ah.
I always do the strut.
That would not have looked like it fit with the Dag.
No, but here's what I'm trying to say, right? Regardless of what you're wearing or what your outfit is, if you've got the confidence in the strut, it shouldn't matter.
Mm.
Your spirit comes through. And I kind of thought maybe the amount of spirit I have in my strut, the energy, the fierceness. I was just like, think fierce.
Yeah.
And, looking like the way I do right now, it didn't come through. People that would normally look at me, I'm not saying they're regular people that sit on the side of the street, but... Usually I people kind of look a little at what I'm wearing. I look at my shoes. I normally have quite nice shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wearing these daggy-ass shoes tonight. Nobody looked at me. I felt so unloved. I felt like the world turned its back on me.
Yeah.
For that 3.5 minutes I was walking. But now that I'm in a studio safe with you, away from judging eyes, don't you look at me like that.
Okay. I'll look away.
So what's the point of this experiment tonight? So on Different Strokes tonight, we've decided, Jade and I have decided to do From Dag to Drag.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of inspired by the whole beauty and the geek thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just the extremes in that. And I thought it's been a while, Jade, since you and I dressed up and, did something kind of fun. And we took pictures of ourselves, Jade, with extreme drag makeup.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's not that extreme, is it?
No.
It could have been
much worse.
You could have had false lashes. You could have had a teapot in your hair.
Yeah.
But
I could have worn a dress, but we all know I'm never wearing a dress for anyone.
Oh, we've pushed a lot of boundaries. We've pushed a lot of buttons here on you, Jade, since the time we've been doing the show. And I have a feeling one day we're just at a cusp of a shoe swap where you put on a dress. I've gotten you to wear heels.
Yes.
I've gotten you to wear makeup tonight.
It's the dress with the, you know, having to fold your legs and, you know, have to sit a certain way to be comfortable. I can't do it.
Not that I can relate. I've never worn a skirt before. Actually, yeah, that's a different story. So tonight, the point of this experiment was just to try the extremes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you're daggy, but no. you've got your own style. But we thought we'd go somewhere completely unlike what I am, you know, because I consider myself to be quite stylish. So to put myself as a dag, it's quite different.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is a dag? Because I think a lot of people, including myself, got it confused with that geeky look.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had some criticism thrown at me already with my dag attire. I think it's caused some outrage in the dag community.
Oh, really?
I've had people say, oh, you just look geeky.
Yeah.
I can't help that I'm Asian and I look like an international student right now. I can't help that when I look daggy, I just look like I should be rushing off to Kumon classes. Okay. It's just the way it is. I am wearing nerdy glasses. I'm wearing these big black plastic frame glasses. Yes. But, you know, yes, there are elements of geekiness in it, but there is a difference between looking daggy and looking geeky.
Mm.
And the main difference is, for someone who's described as a dag, it's just someone who is completely unfashionable. But most importantly, they lack the self-consciousness about their appearance. It's like they're oblivious to the fact that they are not fashionable. Mm. It's like they don't even care. A dag may choose to wear textures that feel nice regardless of how they look. They might, you know, they have a tendency of becoming attached to certain items of clothing or fashion, and they stick with it. They keep wearing it despite the fact that it's old or worn out or anything like that, or unfashionable. They stick with it. They're very loyal to trends.
Mm, I've had that experience.
Well, you see, for me, as soon as something, I'm not the most fashion a la mode person, you know, I don't rush out and buy the latest season stuff, whatever's in stock right now.
Mm-hmm.
I normally let it sit for about one or two seasons out, but I have a pretty good indication of when something's gone off.
I wear it until it's gone.
Until it's what? Deteriorating?
Yeah, if I really love something.
Like Hawaiian shirts, for instance.
Oh, well, that was 1998 or something.
Yeah, it was like 98, 99. Okay, I was still wearing it in 2001 and 2. See, here's the thing. I really identify with the dag fashion sense because for so many years, and I've looked back at my photos. For so many years, I felt like I dressed like a dag. But, you know, Jade, sometimes when you look back at old photos, you can't really tell if that was fashionable back then or right now you're looking at it going, oh, God, that is really awful.
Yes. And in hindsight, you realise you've made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
Yeah.
But tonight I've just kind of channeled all those mistakes, all the daggy parts. So pretty much what I look like in 1999 up to the year 2003.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I was in year 11. I think most of what I was wearing in that period of time would be considered quite daggy. A lot of this stuff is in my wardrobe. That's the sad part as well. But there is a difference. I mean, daggy people or people with a daggy fashion sense aren't sloppy people. Let me clear that up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm representing the dag community just for tonight.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Just need to speak up for these brothers and sisters out there that are still wearing the wind cheaters from 1980. You know, these people that are still wearing the tracky pants that's, I don't know, mint green. They're the vintage Adidas kind, you know. You work them. You work them with your runners and your, you know, perm and your hat hair. You do that. You know, I'm really, power to you. Because I think dag fashion in itself is a kind of look.
Yeah. Well, you've got to own it. With any look, you've got to own it.
You got to be comfortable in it.
Yeah.
You know, so what if no one wears zip-off pants anymore? if you love your zip-off pants, which, to be completely honest with you, I would wear zip-off pants again today.
Now, there's this guy that I'm a football club member. When I used to go to the football, there was this guy that used to wear what my girlfriend and I call Jorderoy. So it was jeans on the front and corduroy on the back. Would that count as dag?
I don't know if that's a dag or it's a major mistake.
Yeah, I could not figure for the life of me. He seemed otherwise stylish, but every so often he would bring out the Jorderoy. It was not...
Jorderoy. Who came up with that term? Was it you?
Was it
your girlfriend?
Well, we talked about it for a long time. We had a series of names and Jorderoy was what we settled on.
So the half jeans, half corduroy.
Yeah.
Maybe they're reversible pants, which doesn't work.
No, it can't be.
Nah.
Anyways.
But, you know, that's another thing that's considered to be quite daggy these days, reversible clothing. Like, mm-hmm. I pulled out this old jacket. In fact, I have it in my bag. So it's part of my attire tonight, technically, but I'm not wearing it.
Oh, okay.
It's a reversible jacket, and it's polar fleeced on the inside, and yep. on the outside it's got a kind of a tough kind of rain jackety material.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Things like that are practical.
You've got to prepare for all things.
Exactly. Things like that are practical. And zip-off pants, I will still defend it. Zip-off pants are practical. You know, you never know. You could be hiking in the middle of Asia and it just snows. Okay. You might need the other half. You never know. Jade, you never know. I'm telling you.
Okay, well.
Freak of nature. if you're aspiring to be... a dag, so to speak. If you want to find your own daggy sense of fashion,
mm-hmm.
here's the thing. There is no particular look. Dags can be, you know, dressing in any era, any style, any kind of clothing. You can be a sporty dag.
Mm-hmm.
You can be vintage dag. Whatever it is, you know, it's something that has to be considered. These are a couple of criteria if you wanted to adopt this daggy sense of fashion. It has to be not fashionable right now.
Okay.
Because, you know, stuff comes back in fashion every couple yep. of years. Like, you know, I don't know, bell bottoms. What else? What else has come back?
80s stuff is in 80s right now.
Yeah. You got to pick the stuff that will, under no circumstance, ever, ever be considered fashionable again.
Hmm.
It's really hard because, you know, as a society, we're pretty gullible to these things.
Yeah, we rotate through things. We rotate.
Our tolerance level for some crap is amazing. As soon as we see it on this season's rack, we go, oh, it must be hot again.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. If you want to be a true dag, you can't buy into all that. You got to see through the facade, pick something that's truly, utterly embarrassing, and work it. Work it for 20 years.
So it's about commitment too.
You know, I have a greater appreciation for people with a daggy sense of fashion now.
Yeah.
They are very loyal people. Who else would hang on to these trainers for 20 years? Who?
Well, you know. If you find something you like, you've got to stick with it.
Yeah. Well, I kind of draw the line at when, you know, it starts having holes in it and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just too well loved then. But that's what it takes to become a true dag, I think. And look, it's a difference between looking geeky as well, like I said before,
mm-hmm.
because I think geek fashion can be cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, and being a geek is in right now.
Yeah, and you know, you're very hot right now. You know, you describe yourself as having a bit of a geek fashion sense.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff that you come in with, you know, your shoes, your smart-looking T-shirts, you know, with the funny pictures and, I don't know, witty sayings.
Mm-hmm.
That's all very, you know, a la vogue right now.
Yes.
Is that even French? I don't know.
It's the time of the geek.
It's the era of the geek right now.
Yeah.
So.
The dag's time might be coming.
I don't know. I don't know if it ever will be because that's the antithesis of being fashionable.
I guess it's true.
So there will never ever be a time where being daggy will be fashionable. It just cancels each other out, you know? So I think it's unique. If you're in for that, if you consider yourself to be a bit of a dag, good on you. I say power to you.
Yeah.
You, just like people like Ugly Betty, I've got love for you tonight. You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Jade, coming up next. Girl. If you haven't already seen pictures of Jade with drag queen makeup.
Yeah, if you go to joy.org.au/differentstrokes, you can check out our blog there. Or you can also go to the Joy Twitter, which is twitter.com/joy949. Is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. We just played Britney Spears. I got that. Brackets. Boom, boom.
Do you got that boom boom? Because really, okay, well, cricket sounds. Did y'all hear that?
Mm. Yeah, I...
I was hoping, you know, I picked that Britney song, so, you know.
It was about pumping me up, right?
Yeah, I was prepping you up for your expedition into drag queen culture.
Let me just tell you, Dave, straight off the bat, I never get pumped up about anything, and that's exactly why I will never make a good drag queen.
You'd be too nonchalant.
I'm too nonchalant. I'm too not excitable. Like, there's a lot of energy in being a drag queen. Like, being around Joy, you know, we have the fortune of being around and, you know, witnessing a lot of really good drag performers, you know, that come and hang around the station, like people like Dolly Diamond and K-Sara. But I could never do it. Could never do it. Number one, nowhere near witty enough. Nowhere near sassy enough. And I just don't, like, I've got no energy to, you know, I can't inspire a crowd. And that's, like, what being a drag queen is about, right?
It's the performance aspect,
yeah, it
definitely.
Is. But there are several elements that go into, and I'm not to mention I'm such a sook. I've been whining about how itchy my face is and the hair, and I've been flicking it out of my face. And, you know, I'm just too sooky for, like, the whole thing, really. Could you imagine if I had a dress on and the heels? It would have made it worse.
You would have been bitching all night.
Oh, yeah.
Drag queens are tough. Don't mess with drag queens. The stuff they put up with, really.
But, okay, so some simple steps about how to be, you know, a good drag queen. As best you can, number one is to make sure that you study being a woman, like, you know, what it is to be a woman. You know, even if you're going for, like, the full-on loud campy out there, it's like you've got to understand the female form and, you know, makeup and, you know, the essence of matching things, and you've got to be really quick thinking. Mm. This is all stuff I know nothing about.
I don't even really see drag queens as being female impersonators, to be honest. I think it's a different kind of thing altogether. I mean, how many women do you know out there that dress the way drag queens do and, you know, have that glitz and glam side to them?
But you still got to have, like, that basic appreciation for it, because there's still an element of it, right?
I think there's an element of moving and embodying the female.
There's that is the base.
That's the base of it.
Yes.
And then you just build on that and just take it up to 100 degrees.
Second, decide for yourself straight off the bat, are you going to be a camp queen or a glam queen? Because how this affects you is your audience. So if you are, like, well-versed in the world of drag, there are different audiences for those two things. So you've got to make sure that your audience is going to judge or appreciate you according to, like, what you're going for. Mm. Put a look together and make it a good one. So, you know, drag queens are prized for their, you know, audacious appearances, for just standing out in a crowd. So you've just got to sort of decide if you're going, you know, you got to check out other drag queens to ensure that you're going to be unique.
Yeah.
Instead of, you don't want to be, like, just another run in the mill. There's got to be something to you that makes you stand out.
That's what makes a good drag queen, because I think if you go out gay clubbing a lot, especially to these venues that have lots of different drag queens, and, you know, every week you might see a different one, and then you just think, oh, this one's not that original.
Yep.
Song choice, boring. I mean, I've heard I Will Survive so many times now. It's just... Girl, please.
Well, that's the other thing. Study your craft and study your competitors. So go to all the venues in your area that host drag shows. Go and see a few. If you get a chance, get to know some of the other performers. You know, they can perhaps help you in terms of getting to know other performers again, and, you know, what the clubs that you're seeing.
So, like, networking.
Yeah, sort of networking.
Maybe like a sisterhood thing as well.
Exactly. Start showing up at those venues dressed in drag and see what sort of reaction you could get.
Oh, my goodness.
Try
Can you imagine that?
Yes.
Your very first venture out in drag? You'd be so nervous.
It would be nerve-wracking. You know, try to get a spot in something small, like a small talent show or a parade. And then, you know, sort of continue to build your audience and get as many bookings as you can, even if they're small things. And then take it where you'd like. But you've got to make sure things like don't just do, you know, like sort of plain pantomime and dance, but, you've got to think about other things like comedy and acting, like just things that will set you apart a little bit.
Can I just say, one of the best drag performances I've ever seen was not in Australia, but was actually when I was in Malaysia with my friend James. We went to this gay club, and you know, gay clubs there, they're very anonymous. It's not something that's meant to be very well publicized.
Yep.
It's kind of an underground thing. So we went to this one gay club. It's not even a proper club. It's like a shop lot. It was an emptied out shop lot, and there were plastic chairs everywhere, and there was a little makeshift stage. And they had drag queens there that night, but they didn't look like the drag queens we're used to seeing here in Melbourne. You know, they didn't have the colorful wigs or the big blonde wigs or sequin dresses. They weren't singing Dream Girls. They didn't have the long lashes. Okay, that's not true. They did have long lashes, but they dressed up as Muslim women. So they had the burqa on and they did like Malay songs.
Huh.
It was like an ethnic drag queen.
See, that's a point of difference.
That is a point of difference. I think there will be a market for that here. So if anyone out there is listening, they actually want to be a drag queen and you're, you know, maybe you've got an ethnic heritage, work that.
Yeah.
You know, put on a burqa or whatever.
And then, you know, that... talking about the songs, and then, you know, you've got to choose songs, right? Because it's all about the art of performing. It's, you know, having confidence in class and knowing the songs that suit your persona, because you've got to pick a strong persona, right? So, like, look at what are the common songs. You've got stuff like every drag queen has to have has to have sung I Will Survive, right?
Do you even know that song?
I do know that song.
Okay.
I'm not just... living completely under a rock.
You know... just partially, perhaps. There is a list there, Jade.
I do come out. I'm like a turtle. I come out every so often and then pop myself back in.
When they play I Will Survive.
Yeah.
There's a list there. I know you've got a list there. Let's see how many songs you do know.
Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. I have heard that song. Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Hello, I've seen Wizard of Oz.
Well done.
Good. Everything's Coming Up Roses. I don't think.
What's that? I don't even know that.
New York, New York. I've heard that. But they're saying Liza's version. It's Raining Men.
Hello.
I've heard the Jerry Halliwell version.
Oh, you got to hear the Weather Girls version.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny about It's Raining Men because when I was in high school, that was around the time where Jerry put out her version of It's Raining Men. Obviously, I love the Spice Girls, and I was one of the few people that actually followed them on their 5 solo projects as well.
Oh, you support them all.
I'm loyal. You see, that's a bit of dagginess in there.
Yeah,
it's daggy. See, at the time, it was kind of daggy to like the solo Spice Girl projects.
And even, you know, Posh. Like, no one supported Posh's solo career.
Oh, I requested Posh. I requested Posh on the radio. I paid $9.95 full retail price for her Not Such an Innocent Girl single. Okay. I was sitting up every day, every weekend on Rage and Video Hits waiting for them to play Victoria Beckham's video so I could tape it on my VCR.
Did it ever get played?
It did. I missed the first 10 seconds and I was shattered. But for the, you know, 3 minutes and 10 seconds that I got off the video, it was on loop. Seriously, it was on loop. There are not enough drag queens out there that would do Victoria Beckham songs.
Well, maybe that could be your...
my niche.
Because there was a time when I photoshopped your head onto Posh Spice's body. So, and you did do a really good Posh Spice, so maybe that's your drag persona.
Well, she and I pretty much have the same skin colour, because, you know, she's so tanned and everything.
You do have the angular pout thing down too.
Yeah, you picked a good photo. This was around the time where the Spice Girls were reforming, and you kind of put my head on Posh's, and we both had like a similar fringe happening as well. And a lot of people looked at photo, including myself, looked at that photo, I thought, hang on. Is that me? My waistline does not look like that. Last time I checked.
Well, you know, it was the absolute peak of my Photoshop ability. Yes.
Maybe you can Photoshop, like, you know, if I were to ever go drag one day, maybe you can Photoshop me.
Okay.
My business card. Do drag queens have business cards? That would be interesting.
I'm sure they do. It's all a serious business.
It is a business. You got to treat it. You got to be professional. Yes.
You got to go out there and get work.
Here's the thing where I always wonder, where do they... Look, assuming you're just starting out as a drag queen, where on earth do you find the time, if you're holding now a part-time job or a full-time job, to train? do your choreography, your routine, make your outfits.
It's not just getting dressed up and doing that. It's like a whole thing.
Have you seen RuPaul's Drag Race?
No.
Have you heard of it?
No.
RuPaul's Drag Race is like the drag queen version of America's Next Top Model.
Oh, okay. Yep.
That, you know, it was waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. I always sense that we needed something like that. And I still think we need something like that here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We need, like, I don't know, Courtney Act's Drag Race. Just trying to, you know, appropriate it on a local setting. K-Sara's Drag Race. That's more of a Melbourne scene, perhaps. Yeah, Dolly Diamond's Drag Race. Oh, that one's got all the alliterations happening. Dolly Diamond's Drag Race. But I just think it's great. But to be completely honest with you, it is hard work. And I always wonder how they do it. And once you've watched RuPaul's Drag Race, you kind of get an appreciation that it is hard work.
Yeah.
It is crazy work.
Mm.
So stitching the dresses, dealing with criticism and haters.
Mm.
Don't know.
And the itchiness. Don't forget the itchiness.
The itchiness, yeah.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. We just played Tata Young, Mission Is You, Tata.
You know what? I feel really proud because she followed me on Twitter.
Yeah.
I feel like a bit of a, you know, radio celebrity in the land of Twitter.
Well, see,
God knows why.
You're constantly coming in and saying, Jade, I was just talking to so-and-so on Twitter and they said, you know, and I was telling them how we play their music and...
It is so sad.
You are like a Twitter name dropper.
I am a major Twitter name dropper. It's really sad. Need to get over it. Like, you know, bitch doesn't even know who I am. You know. She followed me because I said I was going to play her song. And she's a Thai singer. Her name is Tata Young. She's huge in Asia. Anyone who's grown up in Asia or been around Asian pop would know who Tata Young is. And she was in Perth over the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of felt like people should know who she is.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we take these things for granted, especially if they're an established artist overseas. You can't go to a new area and just never had your music played there before and expect people to know. So I think she'll be cracking the Australian market pretty soon.
So she went to Perth, but not to the other cities.
That's what I don't get. They have this thing called One Movement or something like that. It's like a music festival. Birdie Blackman was there. All these people from all different parts of the world, different artists coming together at Perth of all places.
Hmm.
Have you been to Perth before?
I have never been to Perth, no.
You see, I lived in Perth for the first 2 years we were in this country, and it was pretty dead.
Yeah.
Pretty dead, pretty quiet. That's why we moved to Melbourne. But maybe it's all happening there now.
Yeah.
You know, did you have like a quiet childhood?
I grew up in outer suburbia. So, yes, it was like all football clubs and, you know, playing netball and hanging out with boys and, you know.
Boys being boys.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just thought, because we were talking before about, God, me singing It's Raining Men at, you know, my high school locker base. Thank God it wasn't like a proper stage. How embarrassing. Can you imagine that? But I kind of always had that at the back of my head, you know. I don't know if you do this at home, Jade, but, you know, you play your favorite song.
Yep.
And you just dance around the living room pretending like you're on stage.
Anytime I even attempt to dance, my girlfriend just looks at me and says, no.
You need your own space. I don't do it in front of people.
Yeah.
I tried doing it in front of my boyfriend with like holding a remote control and like singing Boa or whatever Asian pop.
Yeah.
That's in English, of course.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. It's really awkward. You become very self-conscious.
He doesn't appreciate it.
Well, not so much appreciate. I don't even think he's paying attention.
He's like, oh, yeah, there's
Dave. Yeah, he's like, oh, my God, here we go. He's like, yeah, you can grind up on me if you want.
So he's kind of like as inanimate as me when I get grinded up on by you.
Can we just clear this up? For the sake of our listeners, can we just clear this up that I do not grind up on you, on a regular basis?
I know, but I'm so scarred by the one time it happened that I bring it up all the time.
When was the last time that happened?
It was during our photo shoot.
Well, what did I do? Oh, we did a photo shoot for Different Strokes a couple of weeks, maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
And halfway through, between us finishing the last snap and us getting our poses ready for the next shot, within a split second of the camera going click, I did a bend and snap. And I kind of grunt, you know, when you do a bend and snap and your butt touches the other person and you just rub your bum up the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person happened to be Jade. It wasn't a pleasant experience for you, I heard.
Well, you know what? Like, Dave, you and I, we know each other pretty well, and we spend a lot of time together, like, you know, relatively speaking. And, you know, we're fairly, you know, good friends and all of that. Mm. But we're not particularly...
bum chums.
Yes, or affectionate with each other, for that matter. So I was a little surprised. That's all.
Your hand didn't know what to do.
I didn't know what to do. I felt like I was unsure what was going on.
Well, just a word of caution to anyone that knows Jade, don't do that. Don't bend and snap up on her. You're listening to Different Strokes and Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.